Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast. Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
We're a day later than usual because we have a very special guest on today.
Yes, we have Owen Hunt himself.
Kevin McKidd. And we're, you know, we're going to have to decide how, if we like really share our true feelings about Owen.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a game day. Well, it is game day.
Game time.
Game time decision because, I don't know, we're going to have to feel out his temperature.
Yeah. Like if we're not getting good energy, we're just going to have to keep it very PC. We love the show. Avoid the truth. But if we feel like he's here to play along with our, we're in our scrub. So like we're definitely in fan mode.
Yeah.
Then we can, we'll feel comfortable
totally
expressing our true feelings. What'd you do this week?
Well, actually, I played nurse a lot this week because Red Star got into a little bit of an accident, actually a pretty bad accident, and like ended up breaking a bunch of ribs, puncturing his lung. And so I've been in like full nurse Tanya mode. And like, honestly, I feel like this is kind of where I thrive in life. Like I made him like a little bedside table and I put little flowers in it for him. And I'm like...
I texted Tanya when she told me that Red Star got in an accident and I was like, there's no one better to be dating when you're in an accident than Tanya Rad.
He got really emotional a couple because I mean, he's going to be just fine. Honestly, there's like a 24 hour period where I was so terrified and just, it was like really scary because I didn't really know what was going on. But he's going to be just fine. It's gonna, just going to be a quick and slow recovery. But seeing somebody that you love like that, it's like really scary. And I would just like, I cry randomly when I like, you know, see him in so much pain. But he had like a moment where he was just like, you know, I've always known that you're so nurturing and you always want to take care of me. But he's like, I've never needed it until now. And he's like, I can't tell you like how, I can't even put into words how much it means to me. And like, then I started crying. I was like, it's been an emotional week.
Well, I actually saw a different side of things last night when you FaceTimed me because you were giggling, being like, watch how he has to get out of the bed.
Well, because he's improving a lot day by day. And so
I'm just saying things are better than they were at the beginning.
Yeah.
You've gotten past the, I mean, it really is like, and he even said last night, he was like, it could have been so much worse. Like, I'm really lucky.
Yeah,
and so I think
God.
Those moments of being like, where you get in your head about that stuff is always really scary. So yeah. I'm really glad he's okay.
And we're celebrating our 2-year anniversary coming up.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so I actually put in the scrubbing in Facebook group. I got some really cute suggestions from people.
2 years?
Yeah.
That is crazy. What's the date? Like, is it when y'all became official? Like, how do you...
Yeah, you know, because, you know, there was that breakup in the middle.
Yeah, trigger event.
Yeah, so... And then also... The day we met isn't necessarily the day we became boyfriend, girlfriend. So then we were like, maybe we count from that date, but we're just going to do it from the day that we met.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like everyone has like different, what they consider their like annual anniversary, what that day is.
Do you guys do anything special on your anniversary?
I mean, yeah, we like, well, sometimes we'll take a trip or like do something just like, you know, with the two of us.
I wanted to do something like that. We had the same thing that we do every single year, you know, like a tradition that we do.
Yeah.
Do you know what we're going to do? It's the cutest thing. We're going to take a picture, hold up a picture of ourselves from the year before and take a selfie with that picture and then keep taking that picture, the same picture every year.
Wow.
Isn't that so cute? It's cute.
I've seen that before. It's cute.
Yeah.
Great idea. Very Tanya.
I know. And then we're going to do our top 5 moments of the year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's basically like New Year's Eve all over again.
Well, that's so that we have like a chronological timeline of things that we were
happy. Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Happy. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, well, I went to Florida and my brother got married, which is so crazy because like I feel like on the last podcast we were talking about how my brother used to be on the show and all the girls like would message me and be like, where I'm in, you know, wherever my brother was living at the time, like introduce me or like connect us. And he just never was able to find, you know, the right girl. And then he moved back down to Florida. He's in Pensacola now. And within 2 weeks of being there, he met his now wife.
Now,
so crazy.
So crazy.
So we were down. It was like a crazy few days and it was really good to see my family and everything went so well. There was like no drama, nothing happened. And I'm exhausted still.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm exhausted too. So we have that. We have that in common.
Yeah.
Do you know what's so funny though? When Red Star was in the hospital, he had nothing to do. And so he told me that he was catching up on Scrubbing In. And I tell him not to listen to the podcast. I'm just like, don't listen to anything. It's not fair. This is like girl talk. You can't listen to this.
It's not fair.
Yeah. I hope the pain meds, he's not going to remember any of these things. Because he was like months back. So I don't know what was being said then. Yeah.
I was like thinking I was thinking about the episode where we answered questions and we're drinking wine.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, I really hope these pain meds are
in full force.
In full force. But do you know what's so funny? Actually, the other day, so remember I told you, I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I went on one FaceTime date when we were broken up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not. Did I say that on the podcast?
I don't think so, but you mentioned it to me the other day, and it's a good story.
Okay, so I went on one FaceTime date, and the best thing is, like, this whole FaceTime date, this guy and I end up talking about, I was talking about Red Star and our breakup, and he was talking about the girl that he had just broken up with and how devastated he was. So it was funny because it was, like, my only date that I went on FaceTime, and we were both talking about our exes. Okay, so we still follow each other on Instagram, and I've been noticing that he's been posting this girl, and so I click her profile, and I remember at the time before the date, like, I looked, you know, definitely scoped him out, and I saw this girl in all of his photos, and I was like, oh my gosh, is he back with the girl? And so I messaged him a couple of days ago, and I was like, are you back with that girl that we talked about? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, we're back together, like, we're both on the same page now, it's so good, da, da, da. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you, like, and I don't even know this dude, you know, like, I met him once, and then he responded back to me and he was like, you look like you're so in love. I'm glad things worked out with you guys. Da, da, da. We're like having this like really sweet exchange. And now I'm just like, do I unfollow him? Or like, what do I, like, you know, I don't need to, like, I don't know. We're not friends, but.
That's a great story though.
Yeah. It's cute. Right.
Cause I remember you telling me that. Cause you were like, I have this FaceTime date, whatever. And you're, and then
try
I was like,
get
how
back
did it
out
go?
There.
Yeah. I was like, how did it go? Like, was he your type? And you were like, well, you both talked about Red Star and he talked about his ex the whole time. I was like, okay, we have a long way to go before Tanya's back on the dating horse.
Yeah. It lasted a long time, though. We were definitely on FaceTime for quite some time.
Yeah, just recapping all the things you wish you had done different. And well, we have Kevin McKidd in the waiting room. So it's about to be go time. I'm hot. I'm like,
sweating.
Game faces. Game faces.
Yeah, professional.
Professional, non-judgmental, welcoming.
No pain, no gain.
Nope. No pain, no gain.
All right. Get it together. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Yep. All right, you guys, we have Scrubbing In royalty. Tanya and I are in our navy blue scrubs.
That's right.
Because we have Kevin McKidd here scrubbing in today.
I mean, welcome to the OR.
Yeah, I'm impressed, guys. Those scrubs look very comfortable, I've got to say. They look similar to our ones, which are incredibly comfortable.
Actually, funny enough, they are official Grey's Anatomy scrubs.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are? That's why they look... So,
official,
like the ones that we wear.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Well, funny story. We've met you before, and we were actually in
baby blue scrubs.
But we were on for some reason. Well, we know why, because we're Grey's Anatomy fans to an extreme. Mm-hmm. But they let us go on the red carpet with all the press for Paley Fest a couple of years ago, and so
It was like 2016 or 2017.
I think I remember meeting you guys. I think I remember that.
We were the only ones on like the media press line that were in scrubs.
Right.
So it was slightly embarrassing and kind of awesome at the same time.
Yeah, I think I remember it.
I'm pretty sure we have a selfie with you. You definitely stopped and got a selfie with us.
Which we appreciated.
Good.
Yeah.
Of course. My pleasure.
So, I mean, we really like started this podcast for I started the podcast originally for my love of Grey's Anatomy. Tanya joined in shortly after and had just basically binged the whole series like within 3 months.
From season one, I think at that point it was like season 13. So season 1 to 13 in a matter of 3 months. It's really all I did. I was antisocial.
So we've watched you for a long time. And, you know, Owen has really given us an emotional roller coaster of feelings towards him. I hesitate to say you because I know you're separate from your character.
He's given me an emotional roller coaster too. Totally.
I just feel he's very, what I realized this past episode on the season premiere, he really just, he feels an emotion and then he acts on it in the most extreme way. That's how I feel about Owen. Like he really just follows what he feels. And I feel like that's gotten him into some not so great situations.
Right.
Do you relate to that at all? Like, is that part of who you are? Or is that,
I mean, I'm definitely, you know, I suppose it's interesting, you know, like I'm Scottish. So, and I think the Scottish personality, you know, the kind of cliche of what a Scots person is pretty passionate and sort of, you know, some people say hot tempered, but I would describe it more as what you see is what you get. You know, there's no hidden agendas with a Scottish person. You know somebody who's Scottish if they like you or if they don't like you straight away. And you know, and they're, you know, and Scottish people, isn't there a famous book with, you know, it's about Scottish people being like they're the most amazing inventors in the world. So, you know, kind of trailblazing, but also they're definitely, you know, they'll go with their first instinct on things. And I think Owen is similar to that, you know, and sometimes that gets him in a lot of trouble, you know, because he doesn't think it through sometimes, you know, he just goes off his kind of gut and off his visceral reactions without sort of tempering that. Now I have seen an evolution in that in the last few years. You know, he's done a lot of therapy and it's kind of taken those, you know, but he's still got that sort of fire in his belly, which sometimes serves well for him and sometimes does not, you know, and sometimes he doesn't listen and sometimes he gets too angry and sometimes he, you know, takes a very strong position on things, you know, and doesn't really see the other side of things sometimes. So he's a very interesting character, you know, and he's definitely challenging, you know, but I love him because what I love about him is he's not pretending or trying to be perfect, you know, he's trying to be a better man, but you know, he's not sort of trying to put forward this kind of very sort of curated version of himself into the universe, if that makes sense. He's more rough around the edges and raw, you know, there's a rawness to him as a character that I appreciate. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's kind of how I feel about Owen, is that he's this, you know, he's a rough diamond, you know, he's a good, good man, but he can be abrasive sometimes. Okay. He's more abrasive than I am, I think, I hope.
So it's funny you bring that up because I'm just going to be totally honest with you here. I was a Christina Yang stan. Like, that was my girl. I loved her. And ever since you cheated
Sandra
on her...
Sandra Oh just texted me less than an hour ago, by the way.
Sandra Oh?
She just texted me less than an hour ago.
Lies.
She's working with... she's working on Killing Eve. And we text a lot, but she's working with her sound guy, who also worked with me years ago when I did Anna Karenina and a thing called North Square with Helen McCrory, who passed away recently, who was a good friend of mine. And they were just talking at lunch and she didn't realize that I knew him and he knew me, and she's been working with him on Killing Eve the last 3 years. So she texted me a photo of him to say hi.
Wow.
Anyway, you were saying Sandra Oh is...
Well, okay.
You stan Sandra Oh?
Yeah, so she was like my girl. And so when you cheated on her, I have literally hated your character. Ever since. And I couldn't get, I held a grudge all these years. Like, I have held a grudge with your character to the point where, like, if anything good happened to your character, I'd be like, ugh, Owen. And so
he doesn't deserve it.
Doesn't deserve it. But what's so funny is we've had all the Grey's, we've had so many Grey's Anatomy actors on the podcast as guests. Mm-hmm. And we ask that, we ask everybody, like, who's your favorite person on set? And everybody says you, like, you are like a unanimous, everybody loves you. And I was always like, why does everybody love Owen? It's just so funny because I can't like separate you and your character. It's so, so funny. And like the fact that Sandra Oh has been able to get over it, I feel like it's now, and you're on the podcast, I feel like now I have to get over my grudge.
You know, it's funny because, you know, it's so funny. I love hearing this, these reactions, and it's exactly the reaction that was intended. You know, so you're not doing anything wrong, you know.
Thank you,
it was interesting. I remember when we were discussing this cheating storyline all those years ago, and I was obviously nervous about it. So I was like, well, you know, nobody's gonna like my character anymore, and, and Shonda Rhimes said a couple of things, and we were sat with Sandra, and we were like, well, and me, Shonda, and Sandra were sat, and we're like, yeah, I know, but we need something to happen. Like, we can't have these couples be happy, mm-hmm. or that there's no drama. So somebody, one of you has to cheat. So it was kind of like we drew straws on who was going to cheat. And ultimately we decided that because Owen, if you think about it, he was designed as this character to come in and be kind of a dick.
Yeah.
You know, he showed up shouting the odds to Patrick's character and everybody and all this kind of stuff. He came in and stabbed a bunch of pigs. So he upset all the animal rights activist people. You know, he kind of has this baked into his DNA of when Shonda came up with the character of Owen Hunt. He has this thing baked into him, which is, in a weird way, he can withstand the character because he was designed to be kind of provocative and upset people. Mm-hmm. He can kind of withstand. We decided, I remember in the room, we're like, it's probably better if Owen be the one who kind of takes one for the team and does the cheating as opposed to Christina. And the other thing that Shonda used to say is like, because I was like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, everyone's going to hate my character because, you know, because he cheats. And she said, listen, Kev, everybody cheats at some point in their life. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, come on. This is like, you know, cheating's not right, but it's like, it's as old as the Bible. It's as old as, you know, it's a thing that most people in their lives have done at some point. And I'm like, well, I guess so. Okay. Because I was really nervous about it. But I remember her saying that. She was like, that's why do you think TV shows and soap operas all have cheating storylines is because it's part of the human condition. And I was like, okay.
Well, she was right about the thing, or you were right about when you were suspecting that people were going to hate you, because honestly, it's taken years.
This is a healing. This is a healing moment
so
for
wait,
us.
What was your moment? I love it. What was your take when Teddy cheated? Were you like, ha ha, served you right, Owen.
I gotta be honest, a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's a double standard there because now it's okay that she cheated.
I know.
But Owen didn't. So what's going on with that? You guys need to explain that to me.
Yeah. I don't know that we really have a great explanation that makes it fair. I think it was more so we felt validated for Christina.
Yeah. It was like justice for Christina.
Like,
justice was served.
Yeah. It took a long time. But it's interesting. We were just talking about how our producer Mark was talking about the Ellen Pompeo, her new podcast, and she had Patrick Dempsey on, and they were both like speaking very highly of you. Like we said, I promise you, when you go back, I know you're probably going to go back and listen to all of our episodes after being on the show, but you'll hear that every time we ask someone, we're like, who's the funniest on set? Who do you enjoy the most? And people always say Kevin.
Right. That's so nice.
I know.
That really makes me happy to hear because, you know, I love our family at work. It's like my work family at this point. And, you know, it's interesting because there's, you know, table reads and stuff. People are like, whoa, your character is like such a dick. But like, you're like a nice guy. And I'm like, yeah, but that's the point of being an actor. Like, you know, I'm Scottish and I'm pretending to be American, you know.
Yeah.
So I see that as a compliment in a strange way.
When you started in the beginning, like when you were a new character in Grey's, did you expect to be around this long?
No. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, when we start on the show, I mean, I remember thinking I might be here for half a season or whatever. I remember when I first decided or agreed to do it, we'd signed on for like, I think it was 8 episodes as a guest star. And it was really just to see if I got along with everyone and mainly Sandra Oh could work with me and I could work with her. And we became like instant friends straight away, Sandra and I. We still are to this day. And everybody was so great. And then it just turned into this thing. I've never had a gig this long in my life as an actor. It's going to be weird when it's all finally over. Who knows when that will be? But it's like, yeah. I'm kind of scared to go back out into the real world. It's like I've become kind of, you know, institutionalized. It's the biggest blessing of my life. Never thought I'd ever have a gig this long as an actor. Most actors never get this thing in their career. So lucky that's the short answer.
It's a testament to just how awesome you are. They just been wanting to keep you around for so long.
I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm not gonna try and deconstruct it or analyze it.
Because it's definitely not a lovable character, I'll tell you that much.
I was gonna say, I mean, spoiler alert, we have seen you and Teddy are married now, and is that going to, you know, I'm hesitant to get excited about any marriages on Grey's Anatomy because they're very short-lived sometimes. So,
well, think about it. This is like Owen's third time around the, you know, around the marriage thing. Hopefully it's his last. I think him and Teddy should be together. You know, and I think they will be. But yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, marriage is, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And you have to create, that's what I keep coming back to, is like the writers have to keep creating drama or mm-hmm. people would stop watching. It's that weird dichotomy of you know, actor, you know, like actors feel protected towards their characters and people who watch the show want their characters to be happy. But actually, it's more interesting when people are unhappy and are struggling with things and making bad decisions.
I do think a lot of the storylines do reflect a lot of like relationships and things that happen to people in real life. So they are super relatable. But I do want to talk about this season. So we obviously just saw the season premiere. How many episodes in this season have you guys shot already?
We're just about to begin episode 6.
So we need to talk about Meredith's new love interest. Because
which one?
Scott Speedman.
Well, we don't know if it's going to be a love interest, right? Because she basically shot him down because she's seeing someone else.
But that's the whole point of it. She shot him down so we would all be like, come on, want it more.
Wow, you're figuring that out. You figured out the equation, the formula.
Yeah. Okay, so what can you tell? I know you probably can't tell us much, but like, what can you tell us about Scott Speedman? Do you like him? Is he around for a while? Or do we like ship this?
I directed his first episode here, which was, I think, in season 14.
Yeah, season 14.
That brilliant episode. Remember, it was the one where Sarah Drew's character had the big philosophical discussion with the rabbi. And then there was the Scott Speedman scenes with and those two are good friends off screen. And I think that really, I know in that episode, it was really like the chemistry between them felt really, really good as a director for that episode. So I'm really happy to see him back. He's a great actor. He's a great guy. You know, he's a great addition. So I think we're going to see more of him. I don't know what that's going to become because, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I do know.
Yeah, but I was going to say, we know that you know, because I was just saying, I feel like, you know, we have a lot of some of the Grey's cast that's been on will be like, did you know that this was happening? Like when they brought Patrick Dempsey back on the beach and they're like, no one knew. I feel like you're one of the people who knows when that kind of stuff is happening. Like you're in that circle.
I mean, I do know things. Yeah, I do know things. I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, I direct a lot of the shows.
Right.
Too. So we have what's called the tone meeting, which is a very useful and very important meeting for directors to be told by the showrunner. And you sit down and go through the script and they say, listen, the way this character is acting or the way this storyline we're thinking is going to play out is this. So you need to start planting seeds because of blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's a really great meeting in prep. So you do get definitely, I mean, nothing's written in stone on our show and the episodes adapt and change. But certainly you do get more insight when you're the director about where the stories are headed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So everybody's basically, when we ask them who their favorite person on set is, they say you, and they say Joe. Those are kind of like
Camilla.
The two.
Yeah, Camilla. See, the two Brits. Yeah.
Who's your favorite person on set? Like, who do you love to have scenes with? Who do you love working with? Who makes you laugh?
Let me think. I loved working with Jesse, obviously. Sad that he's gone. I love I love working with Kim. What I love about Kim is that she finds it really hard to keep a straight face. Like, she cracks up at the drop of a hat. The slightest thing can happen and she will just lose it and not be able to get through a take. Now, the crew sometimes get upset because they want to go home early. Yeah. Sometimes we're like, but I love the fact that Kim, you know, she's such a strong and powerful actress, but she's got this real funny bone, man, that just, when she goes and she get her giggling and laughing, she's gone for a while. She's like laughing.
Yeah, we had her on the podcast a while ago and she was not what I expect. She's not like her character at all. She was like giggling and laughing. And I was like, what?
We had
totally. Yeah, she's so full of life and like, she's very full of fun. So I love working with Kim. Yeah.
Would you, throwing it back to many seasons ago, the musical episode, which has many split reactions, because on the podcast episode that Ellen Pompeo did with Patrick Dempsey, they were talking about how it wasn't fair because you and Sada Ramirez have like trained vocals and are great singers, and they were so nervous and embarrassed to sing. And you can totally feel that. I watched the episode kind of recently.
That episode. I love it.
Because it is the contrast of like when y'all are singing versus them being forced to sing. It was so funny almost. And it was such an emotional episode.
Yeah.
Would y'all do that again, but maybe have like only the people who want to sing or who can sing?
I don't think we'll do another music episode because we're not really in the business of repeating things. Mm-hmm. We should do a dance episode, you know? Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah, like a musical theater.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or what else could it be? What else could it be? I don't know. But yeah, I don't think we're going to do another musical episode. And it was a lot of work, you know, like it was really hard. I don't know how those people on Glee did it week in, week out.
Glee.
You have to record the songs and figure out the choreography. I mean, we didn't have choreography, but, you know, it adds a lot more work to the show. It was so much fun to do it. But yeah, it was funny watching the people that didn't really, really love singing, try and sing. Yeah. But everybody gave it the best shot. And that's all we can do in life, you know?
I enjoyed it. Wait, I want to ask you, the season premiere basically starts out by saying like we're in a post-pandemic world. Do you know what led to that decision of just kind of ending last season and putting kind of COVID aside? As a viewer, I liked it, but I was just curious as to like the thought process to do it for you guys.
You know, I think that decision was made when it's really hard because you have to write these episodes before things happen. And, you know, at the end of last season, we very much felt like, oh my God, the vaccines are here and everybody's going to take the vaccine and COVID's going to be in the rear view mirror. So let's next season go back to, you know, like the after COVID world, or not go back, but go forward into like, you know, post COVID. And then all, you know, without getting too topical, but, you know, all the kind of the issues with Delta variant and people not getting vaccinated has meant that we are still dealing with COVID, which we kind of didn't anticipate, but the ship had already kind of sailed on that decision. Does that make sense?
So that's why you guys put that thing in the beginning of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we're like, wow, we kind of thought things would be kind of wrapped up as far as COVID in the real world. And because of all these complications, it's still here. So, you know, I think that's why we did that, just to go, listen, we're not kind of shirking our responsibility about telling COVID stories, but we did a whole season of COVID. And we really, when the writers started, constructing the season, we kind of all thought COVID would be over, but it isn't, sadly. I mean, hopefully it will be soon, but does that make sense? Like the reason why?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So I think that was important to put that Chiron up, you know, just to kind of, you know,
Do you already know how many episodes you're going to be directing? Because you've definitely moved on. Like, I feel like you're one of the main, a lot of the episodes we see are the ones that you've directed. And do you see, like, do you know in advance, like as the season's going, like, hey, these are the ones you're going to be a part of, or how does that work?
Debbie Allen decides, she basically decides on who the directors are going to be. She selects them. And she usually wants me to direct three or four. Like last season, I did four. It looks like this year I'll probably do about four. And they're usually quite big episodes, like episode two or the mid-season finale, or the last year I did the finale itself, you know, the big wedding, Maggie's wedding, which was so much fun to shoot. And I thought it turned out really beautiful.
Yeah.
But they don't tell me exactly which episodes I'm going to be doing. So sometimes I'll do an episode where my character is only in two scenes and that's great. And then other times I'm in every scene and that's really tough. You know, that's like a lot of work because like I have to like direct myself, which is hard because you have to be more objective, you know, and kind of wear two hats. So that I do find that challenging. I enjoy it, but it's definitely challenging.
How does that work? Like you act out the scene and then you go back and watch it again and you're like, oh, I hate how he did that. Let me redo it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I will have playback when I'm in scenes. I'll watch it, you know, and I'll also ask my fellow actors who I trust implicitly. I'll say, was I good in that? And they'll be like, you should do one more take. You know, and the cameraman have been on the show for so long and they're so talented. So I'll kind of look at them and ask their opinion. And also we have a writer on set who, you know, he's always keeping an eye on performance. So I'll ask them, you know, but I definitely do watch myself, you know, but I kind of, it's more like a sort of, because I find it hard to be objective about my own acting. So I kind of ask for help from Debbie and from the writer and just to say, can you put your eyes on this? And did I suck or not? Basically, do I need to go again or are we good?
They're like, maybe one more for backup, just to be safe.
Exactly.
Are we going to see more sex in the on-call rooms?
I think so. Always. There will be many more on-call rooms.
Owen's always bringing someone into the
he does his fair share. He's a married man now, but maybe him and Kim, you know, maybe him and Teddy. Maybe they're going to work on baby number two. I don't know. You never know, you know? There'll be more. There'll be plenty more. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're going to let you go, but I always ask this question when we have someone from the show on here.
Go ahead.
If you got to choose your death or your exit from the show, which I see you probably just ending it where they show you with a happy family, but if something goes awry and they're like, Kevin, you get to choose, you're dying, but you get to choose how you want to go in Grace fashion. What are you doing? How is it happening?
Alien abduction.
Alien abduction, not an icicle to the heart?
No.
Alien abduction.
That'd be
we
full circle.
We already did icicle to the heart.
But it'd be like
Owen
full circle.
Oh, you think? Okay.
Like what brought you into the series brings you out.
And then they bring in Christina. Like they fly her back to try to do surgery,
but she can't save
out,
you.
But she's slightly too late. Yeah. Exactly. And then as she's taken out, she's like, she leaves it in. She's like, that's because you cheated on me. Yeah.
That's for Tanya and Becca.
That's for Tanya and Becca. Totally. Yeah.
Well, that's alien abduction or icicle to the heart.
Yeah.
We have it figured out.
I haven't thought about that. I was like, I haven't thought about that before or anything.
Yeah. She like had your answer ready
for you.
You
should be a writer on our show. I'm going to get you hired. I'm going to say, as Krista, you can be a writer on our show. You've got good ideas.
Okay. All jokes aside, I do have some great ideas for the ending of the show. And also we really, you know, our goal and one of our manifestations is to be just like background actors on the show.
Really? Yeah. We'll even be like people like sitting in the waiting room.
Oh yeah.
Like,
whatever.
We don't want lines. Yeah. We just want to like be an extra.
I'm sure that we can make that happen. The only thing is you have to get COVID tests. Quite a few of them.
Happy to do it. Happy
nasal
to do
me,
that.
I have my vaccine card, whatever you need.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask around and see if I'll ask Debbie and see if she'll let you come on set. That'd be fun.
We got to take a tour before two weeks before the pandemic. And so we got to take like a, and we tried, we reenacted scenes on like the
on set,
on the set, on the stairs. I went in the elevator. I like, you have no idea. I've actually like told my boyfriend the Patrick Dempsey proposal with all the photos and the things in the elevator. I was like, this is a good move.
No, we had scrubs on, of course, when we went to visit the set because we're losers. And everyone thought we were background actors. And we were like, do we just pretend here? What do we do?
Just so, be there. Just like just blend in. Just blend in. Yeah. Blend in. Blend in.
They're like, who are these girls that won't do anything that we're asking them to do? It's us. Well, thank
you're both
you.
Naturals.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Honestly, I hope you both like the character of Owen a little bit more now that we've talked.
I really think this was a very healing moment for all of us.
Yeah, I think this was something that needed to happen because the hatred was real. It was real.
Resentment. I would say resentment.
Resentment. Yeah. Hate's a strong word. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't wish your character well.
Right.
Well, but now good. It's I'm come full
managed,
circle.
We managed to build some bridges.
We really did.
Yeah.
And so I honestly really, thanks for taking the time. I know you're so busy and you have like plumbing issues and we really appreciate you being here and chatting with us.
Wish me luck. Wish me luck with the pipes.
Seriously, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Bye, Kevin.
Of course. Take care. That was fun, guys. Thank you for cheering me up. That was a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Come on back anytime. Oh.
That was the most Tanya thing to have.
Come on, oh.
You stopped it before you invited him over to watch Grace.
Yeah. I was about to invite him to our watch parties. And...
with Camilla that never has come.
Yeah. Shoot.
Wow.
I had no idea he was Scottish.
What? Are you serious?
I didn't. I had no idea. I mean, it's funny. Everybody on that show, you talk to them in real life and they grew up in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, I knew that about him. I don't know why.
I did not know that. I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been such a psycho fan for so long that I know things that feel obvious to me, but, you know, not to everyone.
Yeah. Wow.
But so what are your thoughts now?
I feel much better about... I mean, I feel like I did the same thing with Teddy, with Kim Raver, because I liked Teddy. But like after we had her on the podcast, I was like, I love Teddy. Like I just loved Kim so much that.
Yeah, I almost feel like I went to like Catholic church and I just confessed to the priest my sins. Right. And I feel cleansed.
All right. But so Thursday night's going to come along and you're going to turn it on and it's going to be an Owen Hunt scene. Are you going to be more accepting, more delighted to see him? Or is it going to be the same feeling you normally get when Owen walks on screen?
I think we're friendly now. You know, that felt like a friendly.
Like if we saw him on the street, I'd be like, what up?
And he'd be like, I've seen you before. But
I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm going to have to just play it by ear. I'm going to have to watch and see. I don't know.
I'm hopeful that I will feel that way.
I'm hopeful too, because I really liked him. Like yeah, I liked him as a person. So let's see if that translates. It's been a deep rooted dislike for many years. So I think it's going to be hard to just change like that. But this was definitely like a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
For a future friendship.
Yeah. It felt good. He actually said at the very beginning, I was like, this isn't the first time that you've seen us in Scrubs. And he said, he was like, I actually think I might remember that of seeing y'all on that carpet. I don't know if he was lying, but
I'm sure he did, because we stood out like a sore thumb. We were reenacting scenes from Grey's Anatomy with people.
Yeah.
And people were just doing interviews.
That's true.
But really, really I would say the majority of the cast now has been on this show. How are you guys not the extras at this point, or at least something?
I mean, because if anybody can get it done, Kevin McKidd can get it done.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he can pull through with that. Those promises.
We gotta tag the shit out of him on Instagram.
I feel like he's already kind of moved on from this interview, but who knows? We'll see.
Are you kidding me? Did you see his gimbal at the end? This made his day.
He was like, "This made me happy," or "This brought." What do you say? This brought me happiness or something?
Something turned my day into a bright sunny spot.
Yeah. Something like it was the best interview of his life.
The storm.
Yeah.
Like
I can't remember the exact words, but something like along those lines.
Yeah. Wow. I feel a rush right now. Like I feel like I don't do drugs, but this is what I imagine they feel like. Like,
getting to confess your hate for Owen, but then like having it like some redemption.
Yeah. I feel good.
Yeah, imagine energized. Imagine if he wasn't like friendly or like a good interview, and then we'd just be like, oh.
I'd start the hashtag kill Owen now. Hashtag kill Owen 2021.
Yeah, I actually but really now it's gonna be that. Like
hashtag I love Owen 2021. Well,
we can go ahead and talk about the premiere while we're at it, because I have some thoughts.
Okay,
we had opposing thoughts. You want to take a break and then come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back. So the Grays premiere was last Thursday. I was at my brother's wedding celebration, so I didn't watch it until yesterday. And I felt
it's okay. Say how you feel.
No. I'm just trying to think of what the word is that I would describe. Slow?
Befuddled?
It felt a little slow to me for a premiere, but I think what really bugged me was the Link and Amelia dynamic, because like I cannot figure out where this is leading to, because they have this moment where it felt like they were on the same page, and then he's like, marry me again. And she's like, no. And I'm like, where is this going? I'm just like, either break up.
I'm so over them too. Like, they might be my new Owen Hunt. I hate them as a couple, but I just can't.
I like them individually, and I think I would like Link with Joe, which I think is kind of where that might lead to.
Seeds are planted.
Yeah, definitely Easter eggs have been born.
Yeah, they've been born. But I'm also kind of wondering what this season direction is going. If they're thinking this, I think every season that continues from this point, they're thinking this could be the last one. So they're like, they brought in Meredith's mom, and they're bringing back Scott Speedman, who is a love interest. And I almost feel like we're going to get a Meredith triangle, you know?
I'm thrilled with that Scott Speedman's back. I've been a fan of his since Felicity, so I'm very happy to see him back on my TV.
He has some.
They have cute banter. They have like flirty, cute, flirty chemistry banter.
There's some Patrick Dempsey energy in him. Sure. Or, yeah, visually too. Like there's something about him that kind of reminds me of that.
So, but all in all, the premiere episode, what would you rank it out of 10 being 10 being like the bomb episode?
Oh, I would say like a 5.
Ooh.
Which it could be worse.
If 10 is the bomb in the body episode, I would give it a 5.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I agree it was kind of slow, but I feel like they're really kind of setting the horizon for a great season. Like, I feel like it's going to be the chief getting back in with the whatever, not interns, but getting them up to speed. Residents?
Oh.
Yeah, the residents. Yeah.
Getting the residents back up to speed. So the chief's going to be like doing all that, and we're going to focus on them a little bit more, which I feel like could be some good on-call room sex. I feel like Meredith and Scott Speedman's character, this is going to be very interesting and kind of like cat and mouse, yes and no, will she, won't she? I think that's going to be fun to be teased. I also think Miranda Bailey still with...
Yeah, Ben.
Ben. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, is he hitting on her or what's happening here?
The other doctor? No, he wants their kid.
The play date. Right. But initially it was kind of weird. I was like, this is weird. Don't know if I like this, but I'm going to like it. I think I'm going to like it. Amelia and Link, I need them to break up.
Yeah,
to get with Joe. I need Joe to brush her hair.
Oh, I hated that whole thing.
I did too. And then I guess I'm going to be into this Teddy and Owen marriage.
But I like the new doctor too.
Dr. Lynn. Yeah.
I really liked her. So I'm excited to see if what her story. Oh my gosh. What if she gets with the doctor that Meredith has been with?
What's his name? Cormac.
But I don't remember what his doctor name is.
Dr. Cormac.
No, that's
his
not.
His first name is Cormac.
Yeah.
What if she gets with him and then Meredith gets a Scott Speed? I don't know. I agree. I think they planted seeds, but sometimes those episodes where they're planting the seeds are not as entertaining as once it gets going, but they have to have those episodes, you know? Yeah. And Kevin McKidd actually said that the big episodes, he listed the second episode. So I guess every season, that's like one of the bigger episodes, because it's like getting, you set the scene for in episode one, and then season two is like where it gets going.
Yeah, episode two.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
Dr. Hayes, by the way. But yeah, that makes sense, because everyone's going to tune in for the premiere no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you make that season, that second episode, a powerhouse, then you're on your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel hopeful. I feel good.
All right, great.
I feel re-energized. Yeah. I might even start wearing my scrubs again on Thursdays. Like,
maybe we should start wearing our scrubs again on Mondays.
I'm into it. I was so on board. I was like, we have Kevin McKidd on. We are wearing our scrubs today.
It's like a uniform.
Yeah.
It's like a school uniform.
You can't have Grey's Anatomy royalty on and not dress the part.
We've never, like, we've only done that for like a few people.
Yeah, the big ones. Could you imagine if we were just in our streetwear?
No. And not appropriate.
Yeah, and he pops in. He's like, who are these hooligans?
He did immediately recognize that we had scrubs on. Yeah, even
he said, those look
one.
Familiar. And we're like, huh, they're Grey's Anatomy scrubs.
Yeah.
Funny you noticed that.
Well, I quite enjoyed today and felt, I also feel like a little bit on high. Like, I have a little pep in my step.
Me too. What do we do with this pep in our step?
I film a TikTok.
What a downer. Film a TikTok.
It's fun. I have a good one for us.
Don't I have to take you home?
You do have to take me home. And on that note, we do need to go, because you got to take me home.
Yeah, I was like, and I have another show to track. But yeah. We love you. We feel thrilled. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Kevin McKidd. Let us know how you feel about Owen, because I do. It's so funny. I posted the teaser. I was like, we have a really big guest in Scrubbing In. Can you guys guess? And everybody guessed Owen Hunt. And they were like posting like the hashtag. What was the hashtag? Hold on.
But I feel like, you know, I like that he knows that
Owen.
His character.
You hate Owen.
I feel like he knows his character has that reaction from people, because that is who the character is. So it made me feel a little bit like validated that he even knows that Owen can be off-putting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hope y'all all, I mean, I feel differently about it. We'll see how I feel Thursday night.
Me too. We'll see. Jury's out.
Yeah.
Before we go, Easton is not with us because he's flying back from Austin, Texas. He was there with Mr. Seacrest for Idol auditions. But so he was there, and his hotel was really far away from like Austin. So he put out a call on Instagram for a ride to Whataburger. And so he wanted us to shout out Amy Nelson and Kelsey Heitzman Sisler that came to his rescue. They are modern women. They wore their modern women merch. Their friendship blossomed after they discovered they were both scrubbers. And they showed Easton true Texas hospitality and took him to Whataburger, and they ate a bunch of food, and they capped it off with a Hillary Duff sing-along on the way back to the hotel.
That is the best.
We
Easton
love you guys.
Was not impressed with Whataburger, but he was very impressed with Amy and Kelsey.
Oh, I'm going to have some words with him about that.
It's not a great burger.
He said it was just okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm shocked.
We love you guys for doing that. That is Scrub Sisterhood right there. We love to see it, love to hear it. And thank you guys for taking care of our Easton.
Yes. Shout out to the girls, modern women. All right. Have a great week. We'll be here next week
with another special guest.
That's right. We'll be back next week with another special guest. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.